Last Saturday night, I was spending time with a close friend of mine when we got news that missiles were on their way to Israel. My friend immediately called her journalist daughter, and I immediately called my journalist husband. And we desperately stared at our phones for news and began sending WhatsApp messages to our friends in Israel, even though it was the middle of the night. My friends in Israel responded in a variety of ways. One, a rabbi in Tel Aviv, put her children to bed in their safe room and then looked at her husband and wondered aloud if her family would survive until the morning. Another friend in Jerusalem wrote that after attending a protest, quote, "I was so emotionally overwhelmed by the plight of the hostages and their families that came across at the demonstration yesterday evening that I failed to get excited or worried by the Iranian threats." Their specific responses mattered less than our bond. As much as possible, I was standing with my friends, my family, and my people from 5,000 miles away as they waited for missiles to arrive from 6,000 miles away. As the Talmud tells us, Kol Yisrael Arivim Ze Laze. This is traditionally translated as all of Israel is responsible for one another. We take responsibility for each other. What it means legally is that we are standing as guarantors for one another, just as one would be a guarantor for a loan. If you can't come through on your loan, I will come through for you. But what Arevim means literally is that we are all mixed up with one another. We're inescapably bound with one another. For me, part of what it means to be a Jew is to understand that I am part of a people, part of a sacred story, a story that is much, much larger and longer than my own. But to tell you the truth, it wasn't always that way for me. In fact, studying the four children recently in preparation for this year's Seder, I realized that for a long time, I was the wicked child. I was the Rasha. What do I mean? Well, listen to what Tuha. Listen to what the wicked child says. What is this service to you and not to them? In other words, not to the child. And since they have excluded themselves from the collective, they deny the essence of it all. Rasha Mahu Omer, Mah Avoda Hazot Lachem, Lachem Velo Lo. Ulefisha Otsiat Atzmomen Haklal, Kafar Ba'ikar. Thank you, Shema. Just to be clear, I for sure don't believe that any children are essentially evil or wicked. But I do think the Haggadah, as it developed in the 2nd century CE, following the destruction of the Second Temple, was onto something. Something essential to who we are. The person who excludes themselves from their people is denying a core principle of what it means to be Jewish. Belonging to something larger than yourself. For a long time, I wrestled with and even rejected belonging. I was the one who in my modern Orthodox yeshiva, don't tell anybody, would sneak out on Yom Kippur and meet a friend at a restaurant and eat unkosher food. The horror. I was the one who failed all my Jewish subjects in high school while I aced all my secular subjects and was almost kicked out of yeshiva. More horror, my poor parents. By the time I went to college, when people asked me about my religion, I would say, well, I was born Jewish, but I'm really an atheist. With those words, I unbound myself from community, from belonging. I was myself and only myself. I defined myself not by belief or faith or by any kind of values or vision, but by the very lack of belief. As many of you know, I grew up in a deeply traditional community of Syrian Jews in Brooklyn. And from early on, I felt alienated. I didn't fit. If you ever want to hear why, make an appointment with me. But I have to tell the truth. While the story has been looked at by many others, especially Ashkenazim, as kind of heroic, right? Leaving the traditional community and sort of breaking all those bonds. The truth is that it was really painful not to fit. It was really painful not to belong. I felt something was wrong with me. I was severed from my community. I was severed from my people. At some point in college, I felt so unmoored and adrift, I became deeply depressed, and I had no idea why. I thought I was finally free. I left my parents. I left my community. And I was free in college, but I wasn't. I wasn't free at all. In fact, I decided to become a rabbi out of my longing to belong. I felt like I couldn't quite and wholly be if I didn't belong. But my sense of alienation went so deep that even once I became a rabbi, and even though I represented, right, the ultimate Jew, alienation was a hard habit to kick. Whenever I was part of a little larger group, which was almost all the time, I felt that I didn't truly belong, and I often judged people who did. I finally realized that it wasn't, that the group itself wasn't the problem. It wasn't this group or that group, but I was the problem. The problem was in me. I was the wicked child. I was the rasha. I was the alienated one, the one that kafar bi'ikar, who denied the essential and sacred principle of belonging. Of course, there were years when I was more of the rasha, more alienated, and other years where I was less of the rasha, less alienated. But I have to tell you that this year, with October 7th, that shifted something in me that went very deep. I finally understood, in a way I never had before, how deep that sense of belonging to a people went. Beholding the horror that unfolded on that day and since, I've realized more than I ever did before that I am a part of a people. My heart broke with my brothers and sisters, my people in Israel, and I wept with them. My heart continues to break at the thought of the hostages and the long nightmare of their family, their families. In November, I went to a rally in D.C. with many of you, and I will say that there was a moment when I looked around and I saw all kinds of people around me that for sure would not accept me as a rabbi, for sure. But I said to myself, but this is my family. This is my extended family. Whether I like them or not is not the point. Whether we have the same values or not is not the point. Whether they're like me or not is not the point. And I have to say, I have an extended family also, and they're Latin Jews, and none of them really see me as a rabbi, right? So it was like kind of more of the same. In December, I went on a mission to Israel with other rabbis to bear witness. I went to stand close to and be with my people who were as a country sitting Shiva. So many people thanked us for coming because in December, hardly anyone was coming to visit. But I didn't want or need thank yous. I knew I was there because they were my extended family. I was a part of them and they were a part of me. Since October 7th, I've become more connected and less judgmental. I feel more than ever before that I belong, that I am someone who stands with her people, someone who is all mixed up with our ongoing painful drama and our ancient and ongoing history. And to tell you the truth, I often feel all mixed up. This year, I am feeling much less like the wicked child. This year, I am by turns the wise child, the chacham, who wants to know what is this really all about to us. The innocent child, the Tom, who just asks, what is this? And the one who doesn't know how to ask or even speak, she'eino yodea lish'ol. But I want to make this very clear. Becoming more fully a Jew, for me, did not eclipse my being human. It should not eclipse our feelings, I believe, for the suffering of others. From a distance, together with many of you, I've borne witness to the suffering of innocent Palestinians in Gaza, of mothers and children, read about the decimation of whole families, 60 people in one family, of the destruction of their homes, of entire neighborhoods, of so many hungry people, wept over stories of fathers who could not provide for their families and mothers who could not feed their babies. My heart breaks for them. And I don't want you to misunderstand what I'm saying. I'm not talking about fault. I'm not talking about responsibility. I'm just talking about the suffering of human beings. That's it. I'm not advocating a specific political position. Right now, for this moment, all I am saying is fully being a Jew and belonging to the Jewish people does not stop me, and I think should not stop anyone, from being fully human. As a Jew and as a human, I feel heartbroken for Palestinians, for innocent Palestinians. And that's a really scary thing to say these days. I'm especially haunted by images of starving children and orphans who have no one to care for them. Being a Jew does not shield me from their suffering. The suffering of my people does not eclipse Palestinian suffering, and Palestinian suffering does not eclipse the suffering of my people. Rabbi Abraham Isaac Cook, the first chief rabbi of Israel, wrote one of my favorite texts of all time. It is called the Fourfold Song. It's long, so here are just a few lines. There is one who sings the song of one's soul. Inside of one's soul, one finds everything. And there's one who sings the song of the nation. One leaves the boundaries of the individual soul, which one finds narrow and not idealistic enough. One yearns for great heights. With a deep love, one unites herself to the entire Jewish people and sings its song. One is pained by its suffering and finds happiness in its dreams. And then there is one who sings the song of humanity. One's spirit ascends and becomes concerned with the greatness of humankind and its divine image. And there's another level. And there is one who rises even higher until one unites with the entire world, with all creatures and with all existence. And with all of them, one sings. Rav Kook understood deeply what it meant to lead his own people and at the same time stand as a human being and a creature who is interwoven with all of existence. There's a really painful image in last week's Parsha. Last week's Parsha was all about skin affliction, right? Tzaraat. And there's an image of a person afflicted with tzaraat, right, who can't come to the Mishkan and can't come near other people because he or she is so contagious. And he's supposed to walk through the streets yelling, Tameh, Tameh, I'm impure, I'm untouchable. And that person is supposed to be shut out of the camp. In this week's Parsha, that person is readmitted to the camp. That person is pure again. They were only untouchable for a short and temporary time. And in this week's Parsha, the Mitzorah is healed, admitted back into the camp, back to holiness, back to community, back to belonging. Returning to the wicked child for a moment. We all have moments and periods of distance and alienation. It's inevitable. It's important to remember that even though the Rasha is called wicked by the rabbis, that child is included at the Seder. They are not outside the camp. They are literally at the table. And they are asking a legitimate question. What does this mean to you? That child, that person, deserves a place at the Seder and a response. Response with kindness, or responding with kindness, creates a possible path of return into community, into belonging for one who feels like they are being excluded. May all who feel like they are outside of the camp feel that they can re-enter and be embraced by their people. May those who feel alienated from the Jewish people find their place at the table, find their place in Jewish life and community. May they feel free to raise questions. May they understand they belong with all their being. And may we all find, alongside our Jewishness, our humanity. This Passover, this Pesach, this celebration of our peoplehood and our liberation.
Thank you for listening. Want more content like this? Subscribe to our podcast and visit romumu.org to learn more about us. Please consider making a contribution to Romumu so we can continue to fulfill our mission to help spiritual seekers deepen their connection to Jewish wisdom and practice to help them become more compassionate human beings. We hope to see you in the synagogue or the Zoomagogue soon. Romumu. Romumu. Adonai.